This week, a 7-year-old girl called Charlotte Benjamin wrote a heartfelt, straight-to-the-point letter asking Lego to rectify the fact that there are more Lego boy people and barely any Lego girls. She also pointed out that all the girls did was sit at home, go to the beach and shop, and they had no jobs. But the boys went on adventures, worked, saved people, and even swam with sharks. She also swiftly and succinctly expressed her displeasure at the illogical and old-fashioned use of pink and blue marketing to separate Lego into boys and girls sections. In brief, she nailed it. She is not the first child to point out the painfully obvious to the toy giants. In 2012, a 6-year-old girl took Hasbro firmly to task in a letter highlighting the fact that when you play Guess Who, the small ratio of female to male characters means that if you choose to play as a woman, you are much more likely to lose. This is by no means an issue that affects only girls. For every girl yearning for a chemistry set, a dinosaur excavation kit, or fire truck in the forbidden boys section, there's a baffled boy being told off for wanting to play with a doll, or even, heaven forbid, picking up something in a shade other than blue. It's hardly unreasonable to suggest that marking science, engineering, and building toys for boys might be having some impact on girls' ideas about whether those fields are open to them. So in a country where only 1 in 10 engineers and 1 in 5 architects is female, isn't it worth trying out non-gendered marketing to see if it might have a positive impact? And as for those who suggest that these interests are biologically hardwired, I can think of many thousands of brilliant female scientists who have a thing or two to teach them. Let's wait until a couple of generations of children have grown up in a world free of such intense messaging before we agree on their resultant behaviour as proof. Shellfish are the natural filter systems of our seas, mechanisms of purity. So to discover in a report released on World Oceans Day that mussels bought from UK supermarkets were infested with microplastic seems like a final irony in the terrible story of the plasticisation of the sea. According to the study by the University of Hull and Brunel University London, 70 particles of microplastic were found in every 100 grams of mussels. There's a vital disconnection here. Highlighted by the bottled water you drink to wash down your mule's frites, and the fact that 89% of ocean trash comes from single-use plastic. No sea is immune from this plague, nor any ocean creature, from the modest mussel or zooplankton to the great whales. I recently returned from Cape Cod, where, due to pollution and other anthropogenic effects, the North Atlantic right whale may be extinct by 2040. A huge mammal about to vanish from the sight of the shores of the richest, most powerful nation on Earth. Last month, off St. Ives in Cornwall, a cormorant tugged helplessly at a monofilament of fishing line that had trussed its bill to its arched neck. And the underwater photographer, Andrew Sutton, sends a selfie from Costa Rica. He's holding miles of illegal plastic longline, tangled like a grotesque bouquet. That we cannot look underneath what Herman Melville called the ocean skin is part of the problem. It's as if, defeated by the sea's mystery, we punish it for defying our dominion. And so it wreaks its revenge, feeding our own rubbish back to us.